your Bible to Luke chapter 1. I want to welcome you to our Christmas Day service. You know, we all have special events that happens in our lives, and we take photos and many times have parties to celebrate the event. Right? Now we have folders and things we can put out there, and everybody can go check out our album. I remember when your photo album had to take like 2 or 3 weeks to process, and then you had to stick it in the little corner things when the pictures came back, and it was an album and it sat underneath somewhere, right? Anybody remember that? Yep. Well, today I want to take us back to a very special night long ago in Nazareth. Last night we actually looked at Simeon and what God had done with Simeon. It was not a guy that you think a lot about when you think about the Christmas story. But it was an interesting study in who Simeon was. And he actually was a Jewish priest who announced Jesus as the coming for the Gentiles. The very first comment of that we have in the New Testament. But today, we're going to be going back to Nazareth. And we're looking at another character out of the Christmas story. This morning, we're going to be focusing on Mary. We're going to pick up in verse 26 of chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read down through verse 50. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country. You didn't know Texas was in the Bible, did you? To a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, as we open our hearts and dive in this morning, I pray that you will speak to us. We thank you for Jesus coming, and we celebrate his birth today. And Father, we know that he left the beauties and the splendor and the worship in heaven to come down in appearance as a man and to be rejected by men, so that we may have the opportunity to spend eternity with you. And we thank you for giving us that opportunity. We don't take it lightly. And Father, I pray this morning that as we dig into some of this, Father, I pray that you'll speak to us. I pray that we'll hear from you and we'll celebrate the risen and living Christ this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. So, it's an interesting story as you look and see what all is going on with Mary as she meets with the angel and finds out her cousin Elizabeth is pregnant. And as you walk, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to walk down Mary's responses and how it changes from the beginning to the end, and take a look at our own and how we respond to God as he begins to lead us. She begins with fear and pondering. You know, the initial interaction can be unsettling. When God comes and speaks to us, it's almost like, what? We're not sure it was him. We're not sure about what's going on. It's kind of like the Eli and Samuel story, for those of you who are familiar with that. For those of you who are not, Samuel was a boy living with Eli, and he thought Eli had called him. God had spoken to Samuel. He got up, and he wakes up Eli and said, I'm here. Did you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And so he goes back to bed, and he hears the voice again and goes to see Eli. And Eli's, you know, he's, quit waking me up. Go back to bed. And that's a little bit of poetic license, if you will. And the third time he wakes him up and says, you called me because God's been speaking to him. And Samuel didn't know that it was God. He just heard a voice. And he goes to Eli, and Eli perceived in his heart that God was doing something in this young man. And he said, the next time you hear that, respond to him. And he did, and then God laid out the things for Samuel. And so a lot of times the initial speaking and how God begins to work with us is startling, or we're unsure of what it is. And she went through the same thing. She was fearful and pondering. What are you talking about? What's going on? Why are you speaking to me? Had no clue as to what all God was doing. And so she moved from fear and pondering to doubt. She said, how can this be? I'm a virgin. How is this even possible that I'm a child? Because I am a virgin. You know, it's so funny that we try to understand God from our frame of reference. Right? Well, God, I don't understand that because these are the things in my... No, Mark, no, fill in your name here. This is what I have for you. But, God, I'm not, you know, I don't have those connections, or I don't... And we do the same thing. When God is speaking to us and he tells us something, just say, I don't get it, but yes. Right? I don't see it. I don't know everything. And you know what? I have rarely had God give me every detail of what he's going to do when he shows me something. He basically says, I need you to go here, and you get up and go. I need you to do this, and he doesn't always line everything out, but it's just simple obedience and following and trusting in faith. And so she goes through doubt. You know, I don't understand. You're telling me this. And here's the God who created the whole universe and created how children are created, telling her this is what's going to happen. You know, he could have made it to where we blink our eyes and a kid shows up out of nowhere, right? We could have populated the whole world on an allergy weekend. And so, but that's not how God chose to do it. He chose to do it this way. And so she moves from fear and pondering to doubt onto submission. When you engage God about his plans for you, he will respond, or you will respond, and submission is a joyful response. When you respond to what he's doing, submission is easy. Because, basically, obedience to God is letting it go and saying, I'm available, I'm here. And we all want to say that on a regular basis, right? We all say that. We all talk that way. But when it comes to these things, like, these crazy things that she's hearing, Or you want me to do what? I can't tell you. Have you ever had God ask you to do something that you weren't good at? Right? We want to walk in our own confidence, and God doesn't want us to walk in our confidence. God wants to strip our confidence away so that we can walk completely in his power and his strength. And that's what she did. She had no way to conceive of a child. Well, she had a way, but not a virgin child. And so God stepped in. So when you engage God about his plans for you, he will respond. And when he does, submission is a joyful response. That's the beauty of what happened with Mary. But Mary didn't just leave it there. And this is where sometimes I think that we miss the boat. Mary takes action when she knew what God wanted. You know, we often talk about letting God have his way and letting him do his thing, but then we don't take action when he does show us. God requires obedience. And obedience isn't just saying yes. Obedience is doing what he called you, or taking the gifts that he gives you in the moment or on a regular basis to go and serve. So it's time to turn the key. It's time to get going. She takes action. She gets up immediately and goes and sees Elizabeth because of what God told her. She gets up immediately and goes and sees. You know, if we had that kind of interaction with God and he had just thought, I might get up and say, hey man, I'll go find out about this. Right? I'm going to see what's going on. We need to take action as God begins to lead us. We don't want to build it on our own strength. If we know what God wants and we're responding to him, we're not building it in our own strength. We're building it in response to his leading. And he builds in and through us. And so she takes action. But then we see transformation that comes. See, what God did in her life changed all of our lives, right? What did Mary say about herself? How did she describe herself? She said, for God has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. She didn't say, yeah, I knew you were going to pick me. I got all these skills. I was waiting on you, God. She used the response we all have. Me? You pick me? You've had regard for this, the humility? I think that that's one of the greatest characteristics that God's eyes are drawn to, is a humble heart. And it's very hard, because this is one of those areas that's tough for all of us. And we're in this together. We're all going to sit in this boat together and go down the raft together. We put our confidence in our strengths. Tell it the way it is, right? We put our confidence in our strengths and we pray to God over our weaknesses. And I think that we have a mistake that's going on in our lives when that happens. How much of who I am is from God? All of it, right? My strengths and weaknesses are from him. He gave me weaknesses. And we spend all our time praying that God would fix our weaknesses instead of saying, man, I'm not going to rely on what's strong. I want to see what you can do when you feel that. Let's let that be the expression. You know, because we think, you know what it is? You know why we pray over our weaknesses? We think we're not whole and complete, which is a deception of the enemy. Well, Mark, if you were only more like this, you would be able to do this, or you would have this impact. You ever heard that voice before? Insert your name here. We've all heard that, right? And so the enemy makes us feel like we're not enough, or we're incomplete, or we're not perfect, or we have these problems in our life. Welcome. I'm glad you have problems, because that means I'm not alone. The truth is, you're all messed up. Merry Christmas. And I'm messed up too, but Jesus finds a way. Listen, he can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. And he does it all the time. What God did in her life changed our lives. And that's not just true for Mary, but for you and me too, if we respond as she did. This world will be changed as you respond to God. You are not defined by your past decisions. You are not defined by the terrible things that have happened in your past unless you allow it to be the definition. We are defined by what God says we are, by who He says we are, by the plans that He had for us before the foundation of the world that the enemy's been trying to steal. Why let him steal that? Why give him that opportunity to rob us of what God has planned for us? That's ridiculous. And yet, we have all these reasons. We have all these beliefs about ourselves that are so untrue, it's not even funny. And then we've been sold this bill of goods that if I improve my behavior, I'll be a better Christian. Listen. The Bible tells us that we're in Him and He's in us, that He'll never leave nor forsake us. That all my sins are forgiven from birth to death when I put my faith in Christ. I become a better Christian as I fall more deeply in love with Jesus. And when I do that, the result is my behaviors change. That's the thing. We want to use the indicator lights to try to fix the problem instead of dealing with the problem. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And man, we want to add those things because we're good enough. And it's not about us being good. Jesus didn't even say He was good. They called Him good. He said, "Who's good? I don't know anybody good." Because they're looking at the wrong things. They were looking at His behavior, and He says, it's not about behavior, it's about who you are, it's about relationship. And behavior follows. Listen, you meet a young man that's in love, his behavior changes. You ever met anybody like that? They're kind of, when you're around them, they're all googly-eyed, and they're acting crazy, and they can't stop talking about them, and you're like, this ain't the same guy that was pumping iron with me like 3 days ago. What's her name? Right? That's kind of how it goes. I created a straw man there because I've never pumped iron on somebody. Either. So, if we respond as she did, she was a simple virgin girl. And the world changed because she obeyed. And that's true of us. That's true of us. Man. Everybody will tell you, you got to have this. You got to have, you know what? You know what we need? We need the empowering presence of Jesus Christ. And all of us surrender to Him. And there's nothing that can't be accomplished that is His will for us. And when we get that right, you don't worry about seats and filling and because we're seeing people come to faith in Christ. In this last half of this last year, we've seen more people pray and receive Christ. We've baptized more people than I think almost the entire history of the church. God is doing something here, and you are a part of it. Amen. And I'm glad to be a part of it. You know, one of the things that we shared in last night in our Christmas Eve service is we were sharing prayer. We spent some time praying with each other and talking about our hopes and dreams about for not just Christmas, but for what God's doing here. And there was a genuine intimacy that fell over this place where everybody wanted to be in relationship with one another and wanted to really seek God and discover that and grow together as we grow toward Him. And you know what? I've been in a lot of churches. And this is the only place I've ever seen that. And so I'm very excited to serve alongside you. It's a real joy to be a part of what God's doing. And then in the midst of this passage, we're given this quote, and people quote it out of these verses all the time. I want you to remember God's word, what God's word says right here. It says, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. I've seen it happen. Actually, in regards to these kind of things, I actually knew a lady who had her tubes tied who got pregnant because God wanted them to have another child. So, listen, we ain't in control, folks. We think we are. Control is an illusion. Illusion. It's a comfort illusion. It's like a pacifier. It's not real. You know, this week I read this story about these two women who were out on a Christmas shopping spree, and they had purchased all these gifts and all the dozens of packages that kind of crammed it into their trunk. And as they were driving home, they passed this local church, and there was a man out in the little yard setting up the nativity. And the church sign invited the whole community to come in for services and the things they were doing for Christmas. And one of the women said to the other woman, "Why does the church try to take over everything? Look at that church trying to horn in on Christmas." And we live in a world that has no clue what Christmas is all about. They have no clue what it's all about. But that's why we're here. That's why we're here, ladies and gentlemen. Why we're here. And so when that conversation happens with somebody you know and your heart starts to beat faster, I don't know about yours, but mine does, and I get little sweat beads like right here and right here. My breathing shallows and I get nervous. You go, "Well, Europe, that don't mean nothing." I take that as a sign that the Spirit of God is up to something. Man, I don't want to miss it when that happens. I hope you don't either. Listen, we're either on His agenda or our own. We're either on His agenda or our own. This Christmas, I want you to invite Him. I want to invite you to join Him on His agenda for you. Listen, when you think He's speaking, engage Him and find out what He's up to. You ever have those thoughts that just come out of nowhere that make you uncomfortable because they relate to something spiritual? Listen, growth is hard. Growth is tough. I've never had to grow through something that wasn't difficult. I always had to give something up or give up a way of thinking or give up. Listen, when Jesus came to be a baby, that was difficult. We think about the cross as being difficult. Believe me, I'm not taking anything from the cross. But He left heaven being worshipped and was laid in a feeding trough for you. He went from perfection to this. He went from the expression of the majesty of who He was to being wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid down in a stone feeding trough, probably. That's tough, but it was for us. And this Christmas, we're called to the same things. We're called to the same things. You know why? Jesus said that, you know, "I understand." I think He more than understands. Thing is, I don't think we can understand Him, to be honest with you. But we have to trust Him. And so today, you know, we run around and we've got all this craziness. We start shopping at midnight and people camp out overnight to get presents and toys and the latest deal. They want to save $10 on the next $2,000 flat screen TV. We do all of this to have these things. And this Christmas, I want to put Jesus back in His proper place. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny when Christmas falls on a Sunday, because there's this question and this wonderment that kind of goes through our minds: are we going to have church? And we all wondered it, and to be honest with you, that thought ran across my mind too. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not as proud of that, but I had that thought. Isn't this the perfect day to have church?
It is.
Amen.
But I'm still conformed. And this was part of my transformation this year. Was like, wow. Wow, Mark. Sorry to disappoint you. But that's reality. That's truth. And those things are tough, and we have to confront those. And they don't just exist related to this day. That's a lot about family and food and presence, and I understand all that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that unless it takes Jesus' place. That's where the problem is. And so I want to encourage you to put Jesus back in your Christmas this year. And let's start today. You know, everybody wants to turn over a new leaf in January. I want to get a running start to January 1st. Let's get a running start. Let's peek the hill and I'm ready. I'm ready. This train is pulling out this year, and I hope you're on it. I want to go with every one of you. Many of you have shared your desire to serve and your desire to be involved and to be used by God here. You know, we're called to be a part. God said, now, he was talking about man and woman. He said, it's not good for us to be alone. And he was talking about that. But he also said, well, one can do 1,000, two can do 10,000. And I always thought two could just do 2,000. Right? Where's all my math teachers? Is it 1,000 and 1,000, 2,000? But for some reason, when you got help, it seems like you can get more done. And you change. And this is how God's math works. How can less be more? But it is with God. And so today, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. We celebrate Jesus today, but we celebrate Jesus every day. It's not just on Christmas, but every day. Let's everybody bow their head and close their eyes.